Well, we would covet your prayers this morning. Feel like the Lord's been talking to us about some things. On the board, I wrote unseen forces, the spirit of the age. And I'm thinking this morning of the effect that things have on us and the effects that God really wants to be in our lives. I thought I would start with a little science lesson. You know, we have unseen forces affecting us right now. While you're sitting there, gravity is affecting you. What would happen if there wasn't gravity? We'd all be up wherever, wouldn't we? We'd be floating around the place. That's what happens when gravity isn't there in outer space. But, you know, there are unseen forces that are beyond that even. And it's still gravity. But I was thinking about the planets going around the sun. I don't understand that one. Because I can understand taking a bucket and going around and around like this and the water staying in the bucket. I can comprehend that force. But it's hard for me to comprehend that Neptune has such a force that it continues in an orbit by gravity around the sun. How does that happen? You know, these forces are actually predictable. There was a man that 15 years after he died, they found out that what he said was true. He predicted that there was another planet, I forget, Planet X he called it or something like that. He said he could tell by the forces that there was another planet farther out. And you know, they found Pluto. And they found that because of the evidence of the effects that was happening. He knew there was something there, he just didn't know where it was or what it was. Do you know there's a lot of forces today at work in our lives that affect us greatly, and we don't even see them? We don't know there's any connection. We do not know that there... How could there be any connection? I don't understand. I'm just going to tell you, no matter how much you tell me, I'll probably still never understand how Neptune and Pluto and all the, how those planets can be affected by the sun. There's space between there. There's nothing there. And yet, there is a pull, isn't there? There really is a pull. You know, we live in the world today, and we disdain many things that we see all around us, don't we? We wish they weren't so. We see people that mistreat one another, and we wish that wasn't so. We see people that are ugly, and we wish that was different. We see people that are carried away with many things of this age today. We wrote the spirit of the age. You know, there are things about our culture and what's going on around us, that if the world lasts a while, the history books will tell it like it really was. They'll tell it like it was, not like we heard it to be so or we thought it to be so, but they'll tell in history what really happened during this time. And you know, all around us are those influences and those forces. And the Lord told us, and I'm going to... I'll just quote this or read it here. Matthew 24 and 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Do you know that there is a cause and effect about things, about our spiritual lives? And we have to be careful knowing these things. We know that we are sitting here, those that are sitting, because of gravity, don't we? But I want to tell you another aspect. Jesus said that because iniquity, because sinful things are really abounding all around us, it's going to cause a lot of people to lose their fervor for godly things. And this morning, I want to challenge us, folks, that we realize what the normal state of a Christian is. Not the state that we're told is normal or that we see all around us, but the normal state of a Christian is one that has a fervent, ardent zeal and a hot fire in their breast for the Lord. Is that true? That's the normal state that the Lord wants there to be in a Christian life. But all around us, there is so much iniquity prevailing all around us that, folks, it has an unseen effect upon us. And I want to read over here in 2 Timothy 3 and 1. We might think or have thought that it has no effect on me. I don't care what the world does. But I want to tell you something. It does have an effect on us. We have to purposely align our lives and our thoughts and our desires with the Word of God, with the will of God. We have to purposely realign those things because all around us, it's so mixed up. This over here in 2 Timothy 3 gives us a very clear outline of what is going to happen in the last days. It says here, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And I want to tell you what the word perilous means. It means dangerous. Spiritually, it's going to be a dangerous time. That's what Paul was telling us. He was writing ahead of time. In the last days, there's going to be very spiritually dangerous times coming. Because, he says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Now, everything that goes on beyond this is encapsulated in that. Everything that he begins to describe that's happening, that we see happening all around us, without measure almost, is because men shall be lovers of themselves. When we get around people that are fully given to God and to His will, do you know that it unwraps and takes that wrapping off that the world wants to put on there of the love of self, and it makes you want to love God, and it makes you want to sacrifice, and it makes you want to do the will of the Lord, and it makes you want to give your life without any strings attached to the Lord. When you get around that influence, it's unseen influences, but they're there, aren't they? And so this morning, Paul tells us, he says, men are going to be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be covetous. They're going to be all out for themselves. They're going to be boasters. Do we hear any of that today? You know, it's shocking at first when you hear somebody just bragging about themselves, but it happens all the time on the news, doesn't it? Happens all the time on the radio. You turn it on and people are talking about how great they are or what. You hear those things, and it's a little bit shocking, but we live in that kind of world, don't we? That's because they're real concerned about their self. They're proud, very, very proud. This is who I am. I saw a person the other day. It wasn't around here. And he was sitting there, and I was looking at him, and I think back, and I think I shouldn't have looked at him so much because I was just taken. He was just sitting like this, real still, and you could just see pride written all the way from top to bottom. Just the way he was dressed and sitting and looking and all of those things. You know, people are proud, aren't they? Sometimes they're not proud of the way they look. They're proud of who they are, what they have, or their reputation or their fame. And it goes on to say blasphemers. It hurts our ears, doesn't it, to hear people blaspheming the name of Jesus and picking apart every little thing about the Word of God openly, with no fear. I want to tell you, it can make us tuck back in a little, can't it? It can, if we're not careful. Disobedient to parents, that's a real thing today, isn't it? He says this is an effect here. There's going to be a lot of this kind of thing going on at the end of time. And he says here, unthankful and unholy. Does anybody pick up an idea that there's an unthankful generation today? Would you say that I look at our generation and I look at the way that the whole of the American people live, and I have to believe that we live about one of the nicest, easiest overall, the whole society, lives the world has ever known. Could we say that? I think we could easily say that. I would say it's very close, if not the best the world has ever known, the way we live today as a whole. But are people thankful? Not at all. You hear constant complaining, don't we? And unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady. You know that word heady, it means rash, inconsiderate. The word incontinent means they want the strength to govern their appetites. They're not able, especially those who are slaves to uncleanness. They're not able to govern their own appetites. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, we might think that's the world, and it sure is, isn't it? But I want to tell you, when everybody around us as a whole is so concerned about their own plush life, their own pleasures, the love of all that they want and do, I want to tell you there's a very strong pull, isn't there? There really is. There's a pull for us to have what we see. And so that pull is there. But I want to come to something here in a minute, some things. But I'll tell you what troubles me more than anything else is the next verse. Because it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This morning, I just want to share with us a little warning, if you will, a little admonition, if we can say it that way. Folks, all around us are people claiming to be Christians, aren't there? All around us, but denying the power of it. Living after the love of self. This morning, I want to encourage us, folks, the love of self and the love and the deep, ardent fire within our breast for the Lord don't go together. And it can't. What happens when we give ourselves to the love of the flesh, to the love of ourselves, is that there's an effect from that, and it's extreme lethargy. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning. Folks, the Lord really wants our lives to be such that our aspirations, our loves, our time, the things we think about, the things we want. Lord, what is your will? What is your will for today? Lord, what can I do in your service? You know, it's not easy to sacrifice your life for something. But I want to tell you something, folks. If we want the burning, the heat, the anointing of the love of God in our life, it's going to come at a cost to the flesh. And so let's recognize all around us is a world that's totally sold to ideas and ideals. And if we fall into those things, we'll find ourselves lacking when it comes to the ardent love of the Lord. Ardent, I looked that word up. That's just a word that I was thinking about. It means hot, burning, that causes sensation of burning, having the appearance of quality of fire, fierce as ardent eyes, warm, applied to the passions and affections, passionate, affectionate, much engaged, zealous, as ardent love or vows or ardent zeal. So I want to turn to 1 Peter 2 and 5. And you pray for us this morning. We really want this to be a challenge to us to unseat any of the lethargy that Satan wants to put into our lives concerning the work of God, concerning our love for the Lord, concerning our love for His Word, our love to do His will. We want to be ardent about those things, don't we? So this says here, 1 Peter 2 and 5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, you know, it's one thing to enjoy things. It's another thing to have that hot fire in our soul that wants to do the will of God, that paws the dirt to do the will of God, if you will. And that's a analogy of an animal. Just, you know, you can see them sometimes doing that. You know, this morning, we're to be lively stones. And I believe this. I'm going to give my own personal experience here. When I am deeply involved in service to the Lord, doing His will, and you know, sometimes it's just more than others, because sometimes the calls are there, the people are in need, the needs are there, and it just works naturally that way. But anointing and the presence of the Lord comes so freely and so easy at those kind of times. But I would tell you, if we begin too much to start feeding our flesh, folks, we're going to struggle for that, aren't we? Now, we might have a sense of satisfaction and enjoyment, but I'm talking about the presence of the Lord in our lives. So I want to encourage us today to not let the spirit of this world and the spirit of the age that we are in, the unseen forces of everybody struggling for one thing, and that is me, and that is my future, and that is my enjoyment, and that is my all of those things. Folks, if we struggle for that, we're going to really, if we struggle in our lives for those things, and that's where we're centered up, when it comes time for the praises to ring forth and the prayers to be had, and we get down to prayer and it's time to pray, and people are hot in their zeal for the Lord, folks, those things come from unseen forces. Those things come from the Spirit of the Lord working in our life. And I want to encourage us today. The Lord wants, and it is the natural state of a Christian to be hot within our chest for the Lord. To be on fire, but it's a good term. To be on fire for the Lord. To have His very thoughts and the things He wants to be driving us and to be influencing us and to be an unseen force that is in our life that people can see when it comes time to pray, that people can see when it comes time for things. Now, I'm not getting after us this morning. Folks, I just want to encourage us today. Let's remember that these things are true, that the lethargy of the world and following the ways of the world, pretty soon we will find ourselves, when it comes time to be in service, when it comes time to be in the service of the Lord, when it comes time to do the work of the Lord. We'll find ourselves lacking because we'll have a deep lethargy upon our lives. And it's not to be that way. The Lord wants our lives to be full, to be vibrant for Him. That's on purpose. There's things that bring that about this morning. I thought about over there in Acts, the 6th chapter, where we read about those looking for men to take care of the daily ministration of passing out to the widows their needs. And what were they looking for? They were looking for some men that was full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, it says. And they found Stephen was one of those. And it says he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Now that should not be, well, that was Stephen. That was a special. No, they just found a man that was that way. He lived that way. His desires, he turned them that way on purpose. He turned them away from all the loves of the world and turned them and focused them on the Lord. You know, this morning, the Lord's looking for people that He can use in places. But we have to make choices that our spiritual life matters more than anything else. Not just that we want to go to heaven. Oh, I want to go to heaven, so I've got to keep saved. I've got to keep saved. Folks, it goes way beyond that. It really does. The Lord would like there to be a fire that burns within our breast, our chest, our inner man, our heart, that we choose those things that many times they're a real sacrifice, aren't they? But I want to tell you what happens. I want to tell you the unseen effects. Ye also as lively stones. We're to be a stone in the Lord's building. We're to be a little piece of His work. We're to be a rock in His building. But I want to tell you what, not a dead rock, not a silent rock, but He wants there to be something flaming up within our hearts today. And the Lord help us this morning. Peter, in 2 Peter 3 and 1, he said, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Folks, we have to be stirred pretty often in today's world, or we'll get completely off track because everybody around us, so many of them are off track. And the Lord said, because iniquity abounds, the love, that ardent thing, that thing within that really draws us to do the will of God, He said it's going to wax cold. There's going to be a lot of people that they wax cold. So we're talking to people here that largely want to do the will of God. And that's what we want to do. So let's whet it. I'm just stirring up your pure minds, folks. By way of remembrance, let's just remember the Lord wants that to be hot. He wants our vision, our loves, our devotion. He wants those things to be hot, doesn't He, this morning? He doesn't want it to be like, well, shall we go today, or what shall we do? Folks, the Lord wants us to be more than that. He wants us to be on the firing line. He wants us to come, not only come, but come with something within. I believe in this kind of thing. The Lord help us today. You know what else Peter in 2 Timothy 1 and 6, Paul was telling Timothy there. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Do you know sometimes we have to stir it up? And when we build a fire in the little wood stove, I enjoy a wood stove. And I want to tell you, sometimes there's coals and embers and there's a lot of heat in there. But you throw something in there, I'll tell you how you can get it to light. Stir that up, and all of a sudden you have to back off because the heat starts pouring out the front. It'll burn your face. You'll end up with a heat burn on you if you don't. I will tell you, we have to stir ourselves up. Stir up the gift that is in you. Stir up the things that God has given you. The things that He uses you in. Don't just let it be that, you know, well, maybe the Lord will call someday. But can we not say, Lord, here am I, send me? Can our fervor be hot enough that we can actually say, Lord, send me. Lord, use my life. Is that too much? It might seem too much if we're a little too close to the world. Because we can be so fervent, folks, for everything in this life. We can be so on the cutting edge. We can know the latest in all the tech things that have come out. We can have the latest phone. There's nothing wrong with having the latest phone. We can have a lot of things. We can know a lot of things and be right on the cutting edge. We can be on the cutting edge of financial things. We can be on the cutting edge of the sports world. We can be on the cutting edge, folks, of all that this world offers. We can be on the cutting edge of many things. But I will tell you, we can be so dull when it comes to having that fervor within for the things of God. So I'm stirring up by the help of the Lord. I'm stirring up your pure mind, okay? The scripture tells us, Proverbs 23 and 21, it tells us, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Well, we don't need to worry about that, do we? Or do we? We can be drunk on this world, can't we? It says the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Drowsiness, sleepiness. Oh, so sleepy, so sleepy. It'll clothe a man with rags. Folks, it's so in the world of God as well, isn't it? Drowsiness will clothe us with rags spiritually. And the Lord wants us to be clothed upon. He wrote letters to the seven churches in Asia, did he not? And he had to stir those people up. Listen, I know you've done all these good things, but you've lost that fervor to do my will. You've lost that fervor for me. Now, backtrack a little bit. Repent of it, he says, before I come and take away from you. I don't remember exactly that one, the candlestick. You know, we have to stir ourselves up, don't we? If we're going to go to heaven, folks, let's don't try to limp in. I talked to a man one time that worked for us. And he told me, he said, because he had this misconception of faith. So he said, you know, he lived a wicked life. He was a young man. He loved to carouse and go with the world and drink and all that stuff. And he said, my hope is that just before I die, I can have faith. Satan lied to him, didn't he? If he wants to go to heaven, he needs to get his life right now, doesn't he? While he's in his right mind, while he can, while he can actually repent. So this morning, let's don't think that in a spiritual way. Lord, I just want to make it to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. But folks, don't you know the Lord has something so much more satisfying than that? Because if we live that way, it's not going to be very satisfying. Give yourself to God and His things. Ask Him to let the fire be hot within this. Lord, let your fire be hot in my soul. And I want to tell you what he promised. He said, if you'll put me first, and you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus said this. He said he would add all these things to you. Do we believe that? Do we believe that if we will put God first, that we'll have everything else we need? Now that doesn't mean we won't have plenty. We usually have a lot more than you need when you put God first. But I want to tell you, just like Sister Charlotte was speaking a while ago, you know, she had enough fish to give away all around her, didn't she? That's kind of the way God works most of the time. So I want to encourage us to put God in a place in our life that promotes this kind of zeal. And I know that we have to fight against the spirit of the age. And it's not like that we feel all the time just like we're pawing the dirt all the time. But let God have the first place. And you'll be surprised. I believe that you'll be fully surprised at the blessing that the Lord gives on our life. In Proverbs 24 and 30, I want to read a little bit of what the wise man wrote. I'm amazed at the writings of Proverbs. There's something that he was amazed at, and it was continually about the slothful and the sluggard and those kind of, he just was amazed by those things. Folks, we can be that way spiritually if we want to be, but we can also have our stuff kept really well in a spiritual way. In Proverbs 24 and 30, he said, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, what was it? It was all grown over with thorns and nettles and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction." He said, "I went by the field of the slothful." Now, these things that we're reading about did not happen overnight. The wall didn't get broke down overnight. The nettles and all of that didn't grow up overnight. It was because this man lived this way. I know sometimes we're going to have to stir ourselves up again. But I want to tell you, if we live that way, our spiritual life is going to be in desperate need of repair all the time. Never anything satisfying. Folks, it is choices that we make. I want to repeat that. It is choices that we make. Now, we might think, "No, but I don't understand. I just can't." Yes, we can. You're limiting God if you say, "I can't." We're flying in the face of His Word if we say, "I can't." I want to tell you, God says we can. And so let's let Him have His way this morning. He said, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." And he said, "This is what I received. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." Do you know that our poverty comes because, like he said, we sleep spiritually. Now, we're talking spiritual things this morning. He's speaking natural things. But you know, he received, he said, instruction, and he looked on the slothful, the one that did not take care of his stuff. And I want to encourage us today to look at our stuff and say, "Lord, is it in good repair? Take a look at it. Lord, would you kind of walk down through here with me and help me?" Folks, I'm in this too. I want the Lord to stir me. I want to be right where he wants me to be. A little folding of the hands. It didn't happen in one day. But I'll tell you what else the wise man said. And this amazes me, the way he speaks of it. It's in quite a few places in Proverbs. In 13 and 4, it says, "The soul of the sluggard desireth." I want to tell you something. There's no connection between desire and what you have unless you do something about it. Did you know that? There's no connection there. Just because you desire to be spiritual don't mean you're going to be spiritual. But he said here, The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Isn't that beautiful this morning? The soul of the diligent. You know what a diligent person is? They're somebody that takes care of stuff. Spiritually, we take care of things. We get things out of our life if we know that it's hindering us from drawing close to the Lord. If the Lord speaks to us and He says, I want you to do this, then we do it, don't we? We're diligent to take care of it. Now, if we don't, what happens? The wall starts falling down. Diligent to take care of our convictions, the things we stand by, the things God has given us. Diligent to take care of a life of prayer with the Lord, where daily we come before the Lord and seek His face. Do you know what I've found in working with people? Not everybody does that. And so I've asked, and I don't want, I'm not throwing anything at all, but folks, have you been praying? Not really. No. It's been weeks. And I'm thinking, wow. Folks, listen, if we want to be made fat in the things of God, and we want more than we need, then we're going to have to be diligent. It's going to take some Bible study. Yeah, we're going to have to take some time. You say, well, I just can't read and comprehend. Well, everywhere about us, there's devices you can turn on and hear the Word of God. My phone has the Bible on it. I listen to it going down the road sometimes. You know, this morning, it's not the only thing I listen to, but I want to make sure that I have a healthy diet in my life. Do we have a healthy diet spiritually in our life? Or is that just something that, well, I've got to be saved. Folks, let's ask God, Lord, burn in my heart, okay? I will pay the price if you will help me. By the grace of God, I'll pay the price. But there's so many excuses, isn't there? There's so many excuses. I've got to go to work. I've got to, you know, there's so many excuses. Well, we all have to go to work. You know, we have to get up and go, don't we? Well, let's make sure that we somewhere have time for worship to the Lord. Let's make sure we have time to do His will. And let's find out what His will is. Lord, what would you have me to be a part of? And we find out, and we don't go. We're slothful about it if we're careful. If we're not careful, we'll have so many excuses. Do you know what the wise man said about that? He said, I'm just going to quote these quickly, Proverbs 20 and 4. He said, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Do you know that there's a time for plowing, isn't there? There's a time for seeding. And if we don't do it in the natural, we're not going to have a crop, are we? We're not going to have fruits coming up if we haven't sown anything, if we haven't planted. Well, it's going to be that way in our spiritual life as well. We encourage us today. And he said, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. There is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Well, what if there's a lion without? He said, the slothful man says, what he's saying, I can't go. I can't do it. There's a lion out there. You know what the diligent man says? I have to take care of it. So take my gun, whatever I got to do. I got to kill the lion if I have to, but I've got work to do. I've got to take care of things. I got a family to feed. Well, you know what? Spiritual things are just as real. In fact, I want to jog our memory for a minute. They're more real. Because if you had the scope of God's eyes and saw eternity, all this other stuff quits when we die. But spiritual things, it goes on. And it never quits. And the soul never dies, does it? So what's really important? Will there be a few people? Of course there will. There always has been some people that caught the vision and that said, I will. I want to take care of my spiritual things. I want to do that. I want to tell you, if we'll do that, we can have spiritual health this morning. Take care of the spiritual things for our children. Folks, you know how important that is? Every day. Now, we might say, well, we have worship a couple times a week. And I know that when they get older and they've got jobs and all this stuff starts happening, it's different. It's harder, I'll say. But, you know, we better train them up, hadn't we? Better be diligent about the things of the Lord, those things, because it really matters. Let's take care of their souls, too. But I'm so busy. But how many excuses? There's a line in the street. It's cold outside. There's so many excuses that we can have. Or we can have this in our heart. I will take care of the spiritual things. I will do it. By the help of God, I will do it. I will humble myself. I will seek the Lord until He gives me strength to do it. We can do that, can't we? Oh, the Lord help us. There's a lethargy in the world today, and it's because of the love of self and people following all the things. As we started out, the second scripture that we read was there in 2 Timothy 3. And it's because all around us people are taking care of everything except the most important thing, and that is our soul. And there's a lethargy about us in taking care of our soul. And do you know that that directly affects us? When everybody else is that way, it's easy to be that way, isn't it? When everybody else is putting their emphasis on all the things of this world, and I got to take care, I got to make sure that I'm happy. I want to tell you, we got it backwards when we do that. Take care of God. He's the one that made us. Take care of His life. Take care of spiritual things. That's the only thing that's going to be eternal. We want our children to be blessed. Let's don't be lethargic about our work for them. And I will tell you, when we start working with our children, they're looking at a lot more than what we're reading to them or what we're, they're looking at what we involve ourselves in. They're looking at our loves. They're looking at our life. And if we want them to love the things of God first, foremost, heat in all of it, then we better have it ourselves, hadn't we? Oh, the Lord help us today. Let's overcome the spirit of the times that we live in. Folks, I want to encourage us, and this is not to throw anything. I want to encourage us. Be there. Be in service. Stir up your pure mind before the devil takes it away. Be there. Be in service when service is in, if you can be. Be there with something in your soul to bring to service. I just want to encourage you. Let's don't say, well, let's bring something. Let's just decide, you know what, I'm not going to be hurt about it. I'm going to not only be there, but I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there ready to be a part of things. Overcome the spirit of the world around us. The lethargy of worshiping the Lord. And I want to mention one more thing, the lethargy of the work of the Lord. I know there are those here that put their whole heart in the work of God. Thank God for everyone that does this morning. I want to encourage us, put your heart in the work of God. And I know we have to work. We have to raise families. We have to go places with our family. We have to do things. Put your heart in the work of the Lord too. And let that be. Let God's will be first in all these other things. If we do it God's way, it'll work. It'll be part of it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Shall the Son of Man find faith on the earth when He comes again? I hope so. I hope some of us are still here and that we have a vibrant faith within our heart and our life, and that we're wanting, Lord, so come, Lord Jesus, be in our hearts and our lives. Y'all pray for me too. I live in this world just like you do. I feel the same temptations you feel. I feel the same pushback from the enemy. We all do, don't we? Every one of us do. Well, I want to tell you, I'm determined one thing. I want to go to heaven, and I plan to go by the grace of God. And I hope you do too, and I hope you go. Folks, because it's not enough to desire. The sluggard desires, and he doesn't have anything. But the hand of the diligent will be made fat. Let's be diligent today. You pray for me. Amen.